What are you all celebrating? What are you all looking at? Haven't you ever seen a defeated and broken man before? Oh, I'm sorry. Did I offend you? Did I offend them, my trusted servant? My name is, or was, Haman. Yes, yes, I know, boo away. That's what they do anymore when they hear my name. Haman. I was once a great man, feared, people feared me, and I had great power. The name Haman was feared and respected. Oh, those were the days, me walking the streets of Susa and watching the fear and respect in the eyes of those I passed as they bowed before me. Yes, I, Haman, was once great. It all started when the king had a great feast and invited all his nobles and great people from all over his land. After we were all quite merry from way too much wine, he called to his servant and commanded that Vashti, his queen, should be brought before him. Vashti refused. She always was a stubborn one. And so the king was embarrassed. He was convinced by one of his advisors, may he go bald and all his teeth fall out, to pick a new queen. I didn't know it then, but that was the beginning of the end for me. A new queen was chosen, and her name was Esther. She was so beautiful and charming, it makes me sick, that she beguiled the king. Oh, all right, they fell in love. I didn't realize that she was a Jew. How could I know? Her name was Hadassah. I didn't know. Never mind that. Back to my favorite subject, me, Haman. The king honored me, Haman. Above all the other nobles. And told everyone to bow before me, of course. Everyone did bow, except for that one man, Mordecai. He had some outdated spiritual idea that he should bow to no man, only his God. He was a Jew, may their beards be dreadlocks, and he worshiped the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. How was I to know that his God was real? So I did what I always do when people challenged my authority. I find out about them. I get the dirt, so to speak, so I can threaten them into submission. They don't call me Haman for nothing. They don't call me Haman for nothing. I tried really hard to find dirt on Mordecai, but he was as clean as a Sith for harvesting ripe grain. Sorry. However, I did come up with a way to trick the king into getting rid of not only Mordecai, but all of his people as well. It was a great plan. Of course it was mine, Haman. I decided that I would kill all the Jews, not just Mordecai. So I called, gotcha. So I called my friends and we cast the pur, or lot, to figure out what the best day was to carry out our brilliant plan. I'm sorry, my brilliant plan. Then I went to the king to sell my idea. This is what I said. There is a certain people dispersed and scattered among the peoples in all the provinces of your kingdom, your majesty, whose customs are different from all those of other people, and who do not obey the king's laws. It is not in the king's best interest to tolerate them. If it pleases the king, let a decree be issued to destroy them, and I will put 10,000 talents of silver into the royal treasury for the men who carry out this business. The king wouldn't take the money, the fool, but he said I could do whatever I wanted with the Jews. Yes. Finally, my plan was coming together. Somehow, Mordecai found out about my plan, and the Jews began to fast and pray. I laughed at them. I mocked them. Did they really think their God would help them? After all, I am Haman, the greatest man in Persia. Oh, except for the king. My week was already going well, and then it got even better. Queen Esther invited me and the king to a banquet. Just the two of us. She obviously recognized my value and greatness. It was a fabulous meal and a great evening. Too bad it had to be ruined by that loser, Mordecai. It's just not fair that idealistic, naive fanatics like Mordecai should win over shrewd and savvy politicians like myself. There he was, standing by the gate, not even afraid, standing by the gate instead of bowing like all the other self-respecting, law-abiding citizens. I was enraged. I went home and told my wife and friends how angry I was. Why do you let him get you so upset, they said. After all, you are Haman. The greatest man in Persia. So, I don't know where I was. Anyways. Build a gallows 70 feet high and go ask the king to hang Mordecai on it. Then go and enjoy the banquet with the king and the queen. I was delighted by their suggestion, and so I ordered the gallows to be built. It was at this point that things started to go wrong. Horribly, dreadfully wrong. I went to the palace to request permission from the king to hang Mordecai. Got you again. And I was greeted by an anxious servant that quickly brought me to the king. Quickly brought me to the king. So, I could hear him yelling something about honoring great men, especially men who were trustworthy and faithful. I quickly deduced that he must be talking about me. I am at your service, your majesty, I said as I entered humbly. Haman! Great to see you, he said. You are just the one I was hoping to talk to. What should be done for the man that the king delights to honor? Wow, I thought, who is there that the king would rather honor than me? Not only will I be able to get rid of Mordecai. That's right, yay. But I will be honored by all of Susa. I will finally get what I deserve. So I answered the king. Long live the king. O king, live forever. For the man the king delights to honor, have them bring a royal robe the king has worn, and a horse the king has ridden, one with a royal crest placed on his head. Then let the robe and the horse be entrusted to one of the king's most noble princes. Let the robe, the man the king delights, let the man the king delights to honor, and lead him on the course on a horse through the city streets, proclaiming before him, "This is what is done for the man the king delights to honor." The king was delighted. That's great, Haman. Get the robe and the horse and do just as you have suggested for Mordecai the Jew, who sits at the king's gate. Do not neglect anything you have recommended. I was dumbfounded. How could this be? But what could I do? It was the king's command. So all that day I walked through the dirty, dusty streets of Susa, shouting at the top of my lungs, "This is what is done for the man the king delights to honor. This is what is done for the man the king delights to honor. This is what is..." Oh, sorry. Sorry. All day long. All day, leading Mordecai, who is wearing the king's robe, on the king's horse. How humiliating! I rushed home completely beside myself with anger and shame. How dare he do this to me? I was convinced Mordecai had conspired to reveal the story of his saving the king's life as a last-ditch effort to save himself. Well, it wouldn't work. I would show him. I told my friends and my wife, and I couldn't believe my ears. They told me that this was just the beginning of my problems and that my ruin was sure. Me, Haman. How dare they? While we were having this conversation, the eunuchs came from the palace to tell me that it was time for the dinner that Esther had prepared. Well, I said to myself, self, at least you still have the favor of the king and his queen, Esther. I went to the dinner and relaxed. The king was in a jovial mood and was deeply enjoying his meal and his queen. She smiled at me and asked how my day was. You believe the audacity? She smiled and asked me how my day was and indicated that I must be tired and thirsty and offered me a cup of wine. We sat watching the sunset over Susa, and I knew everything would be all right. Then the king asked her what was... Then that guy asked her what was her request. "Even up to half my kingdom, it will be granted," he said. What? Was he crazy? What women, how they could turn the heart and eyes of a man. If anyone deserved half the kingdom, it should be me. My worthy thoughts were interrupted by what she was saying. "And spare my people, this is my request. For I and my people have been sold for destruction and slaughter and annihilation. If we had merely been sold as male and female slaves, I would have kept quiet, because no such distress would justify disturbing the king." What was this? Who was she talking about? The king was furious. "Who is he? Where is the man who has dared to do such a thing?" the king said. Then the bottom dropped out as she said these words. The adversary and enemy is this vile Haman. How could this be? Esther? A Jew? Why didn't I know this? No, it couldn't be. The king left the table, tossing his cup of wine to the ground. My fate was obvious on his face. What could I do? I flung myself at Esther's feet, begging for mercy. He thought I was attacking Esther. And that was the final straw. How could things have gone so wrong? Then I realized that I'd been fighting a losing battle. I had set myself up as a god and tried to fight against the God of the Hebrews, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I realized too late that I was a fool, that I was selfish and arrogant. And so now, way too late, I bow my knee and acknowledge that the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, he alone is God, and there is no other. I have one verse that I want to read from Esther. Actually, a few verses here that I want to read from Esther. And they told Mordecai, this part, just bear with me for a second. This is the part where Mordecai had gone to talk to Esther, or he hadn't gone to talk, but he had sent servants to talk to Esther to tell her what was going on, about what was going to happen to the Jews. And Esther had responded by saying, if I go to the king, I could lose my life. And so this is Mordecai's response through the servants. And they told Mordecai what Esther had said. Then Mordecai told to reply to Esther, do not think to yourself that in the king's palace you will escape more than all the other Jews. For if you keep silent at this time, relief and deliverance will rise for the Jews from another place, but you and your father's house will perish. And who knows whether you have not come to the kingdom for such a time as this? And then Esther responds, telling all of her people to go and fast and pray, and she is willing to go to the king. And as each year, as we read this story and as we go through, whether we do a play or whatever we do in this time of feasting, we need to remember that God has put each one of us in the place that he wants us. Whether it be at your work, whether it be in school, whether it be in a place maybe of authority, maybe you're in charge of your family, or maybe you're in charge of a lot of people. But God has placed each one of us in a particular place for his glory, for his purpose to be fulfilled. And each one of us can serve the Lord as an Esther in those places where he has put us. We need to be trusting him. Esther trusted God. Esther believed God that he would protect her. It was hard. It was difficult. She didn't know what to expect. She knew she was taking her life in her hands. But it was worth it. It was worth it. And so we need to be praying as God has placed us in different places in our society, in our culture today, that he shows us how we also can stand for him like Mordecai and Esther did. And their actions saved the lives of every Jew in the known world. That's what many times we don't understand. Persia controlled the known world at that time. That's how big the empire was. So their actions saved every Jew in the known world at that time. God had a purpose. God had a plan through that. And he had placed Esther in that position just for that time. And so as fun as this celebration is, we need to remember that there are Hamans out there. There are those who want nothing better than the destruction of the Jewish people, the destruction of the Christians as well, the destruction of the people of God. They are, of course, inspired and led by Satan himself, who hates God's people and will do everything he can to try to destroy and bring down God's people. So we need to be aware of that, but not fearful, because our God is greater. And greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. We, especially as believers in Yeshua, we have the Holy Spirit living and dwelling in us. We don't have to fear. God's very presence lives in us. And so because of that, we can stand even in these types of situations, trusting our Lord. And we need to stand alone, but many times we also need to stand together as well. We have each other. Intentionally, God made it that way. Esther didn't even stand all by herself. She had Mordecai. And she had all of the Jews that were praying and fasting for her during that time. One interesting side note about the book of Esther, it never mentions the name of God. God is not mentioned in the book of Esther. However, as you read through the book, God is so there in every part of Esther. It's absolutely amazing. Don't know exactly why, other than, it wasn't needed because his presence is clearly there. But it's an interesting book. I would encourage you to go home and read through the book of Esther. It doesn't take very long after we enjoy the great meal that's been prepared. And what's next? Just closing and praying? Okay. All right. Well, let's pray, and then we'll close the service. Thank you. I know you didn't have a lot of parts in this, but you know how Haman is. Forgot to say boo. All right, well, let's close the service. Father God, we thank you so much that you have delivered your people over and over and over again, that we can trust you, that, Lord, when we are in need, when we are struggling, when we feel like we're being attacked, that, Lord, help us even before that to have already developed a relationship with you so that we know we can turn to you and that you hear our voice. Lord, we pray today for the Jewish people all over the world. Many areas of the world where it is very dangerous to be a Jew. Lord, we pray for the Jews in the former Soviet Union. We pray for the Jews throughout Europe, specifically France and some of the areas where there's been terrorism, especially recently. We pray for the Jews of this country. Many times we become it's kind of comfortable in a land that is not the land that you have for us. So, Father, I pray that as you put it in our hearts to return to the land of Israel, that you will work that out as well. Lord, we pray for the Jews all throughout the world, especially in those countries that are not favorable towards them. Lord, that you will protect them, that you will keep them safe, that you will give them knowledge of when the right time to escape. And Lord, especially that they will come to know Yeshua as their Messiah. Lord, we know that it says in your word that there's coming that day when you will pour on the house of Judah a spirit of grace and supplication, that they will look on him whom they have pierced and they will mourn for him. And Lord, we thank you that you are already beginning to do that. You are working in the hearts and lives of your people all around the world. Lord, I also pray for all who have been grafted into Israel, maybe not Jewish by blood, but Jewish by belief and by faith, as every one of us that have trusted and believed in Yeshua are part of Israel. And Lord, we thank you that we are one in you, that there is no second-class citizens in the family of God, that we, none are better than anyone else, but we are made righteous by your blood. And so, Lord, I pray today as we celebrate this deliverance, that you will bless our fellowship, bless our time together. And Lord, I pray that it will be a time that will be encouraging and strengthening and a sweet time of fellowship together. We pray this
In Yeshua's name, amen.